What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castle.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Oh man. Hey guys, welcome back to the Mouse and Castle. Come on in. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us this week. Glad to have you. Glad to have you back. And glad to have you back, Mr. Aaron Goins. What's going on, man? How's life?
Pretty good. How's life with you, Riley?
I literally threw out my back because I can't deadlift. That's me today, literally.
I thought you were going to say you threw out your back podcasting.
that would be like, that's goals right there. That's hashtag goals. Well, welcome back. It is the Mouse and Castle podcast, the podcast that talks about all things Disney, episode 11. So glad you guys have joined us. We've got a bit to talk about. There was a little bit of a cultural event here in these United States, anyways. The Super Bowl was just a thing.
Oh, yes. We are recording, it was just last night.
I know. Did you watch, Aaron? Is that a tradition in the Goins household?
Yeah, I think it's a tradition. I grew up in a sports conscious family.
You sound hesitant. So, like, were you on the outside there?
There were definitely years that I was much more into it than I am now. But I think as I've gotten older and other responsibilities, sports has kind of started to fade away a little bit for me. But I still pay attention. Yeah. So for a Super Bowl, it's a big enough event that usually like friends have parties and stuff. So I usually attend one of those. So that's what I did.
So you attended a Super Bowl party. So so let's talk about it. Not the game. Who needs? It was boring, right?
There's not much to talk about with the game. Yeah.
One of the best cases for people who are always talking about how European football, so to speak, or the rest of the world's football is more interesting to watch. And usually the argument's like, no, you never score in the other games. But in this case, this year is about the same. But no, for the world of Disney, there were some Super Bowl spots, as happens every year. Disappointed there was no Episode 9 stuff for Star Wars, but we got, we got a couple different ones, starting with Avengers Endgame.
Some people move on, but not us. Not us.
A very, very, limited teaser for Avengers Endgame. Some people move on, but not us. You see a rather ticked off, but now clean-shaven Captain America and some of the... Hawkeye. Well, all the original Avengers plus Rocket Raccoon.
A little Ant-Man appearance there.
Yeah, true. They don't really need to hype this movie, do they? The entire last movie was literally the trailer for this movie. I do like that they kind of reference what happened with the, I guess, spoiler alert for Infinity War, in case you haven't seen it. But where do we go now that they're gone? It's like a little newspaper poster thing in like an empty diner where Captain America's hanging out. And yeah. Oh, and then we get a shot of Nebula. Nebula's hanging out with Tony Stark working on something. We got a little shot of Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, doing some target practice like you do.
So, that was in that trailer? She was in there?
Yeah, just for a second. And it was just from, it doesn't even show her, but you can tell it's her because we also saw the Captain Marvel one, which I feel like there's not really much to say about
Dr. Soviet voice.
The other one. So Captain Marvel, here it is.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
Yes, baby.
Higher. Further.
Try to keep up.
A lot more, you get a lot better sense for this movie. March 8th, Captain Marvel. It also a considerably better spot, wouldn't you say?
I actually missed the Captain Marvel spot.
Oh, yeah, it was like right at the beginning in the first quarter.
Yeah, I missed this. I missed that one, and I did catch the Avengers one. I'm very much more excited for the Avengers movie than I am for Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, just Captain Marvel is a character I'm just not that familiar with.
True.
So I've just not, like, nothing I've seen yet in the trailers has me super excited.
Yeah. It's this one was better than any of the other trailers I think that's come out, even though it's super short. I was pretty, also watching it with a bunch of Air Force lieutenants who were watching the Super Bowl, like all the sort of Air Force Academy imagery of her as a pilot in the flight suit and like all that stuff was pretty cool to see. So that's kind of definitely looks like one of the more, I guess previously the most sort of military type movie was the first Captain America, but that was historical. Rhodey, I guess we get to see him as War Machine, but it looks like we'll get a whole new sort of military perspective in Captain Marvel, which is probably what I'm most excited about for the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Definitely appeals to you more than me.
Well, fair, you know, target audience and all. Although, the youngified Sam Jackson's kind of weird.
You think so?
They keep doing it. But if it's through the whole movie, usually they do it like for a tasteful scene or so, and it works. But if it looks like he's in the whole movie this way.
They're getting better at it.
It does look good. I can't argue with it. And I also have to say it's a very Iron Man-esque capabilities as you see the Captain Marvel suit as she rockets up into the air.
Yeah, I think the success of Iron Man has bled over to other characters because I even thought that in Spider-Man Homecoming it was kind of like, oh, it's like Spider-Man except he's an Iron Man suit.
Even in the
Avengers trailer they have the one scene where it's somebody in Ant-Man, is it Rhodey and Ant-Man?
Yeah, Rhodey and Ant-Man are next to each other. Yeah,
and then like both their helmet like face masks flip down kind of in the same way, and so even Ant-Man has a Iron Man-esque type of thing going on now. So
So what's funny is behind the scenes conversation, Aaron was hard to convince to talk about Marvel teasers. He was like, we're not a Marvel podcast, but
well, that was one of the things when we started this podcast, it was kind of like, well, how much Disney do we cover? Because Disney owns so much, right?
Yeah. We do weekly ESPN specials.
Right. Exactly. So it's kind of like, well, let's draw the line. We'll cover, you know, the Disney movies that are Disney based on Disney properties and the Disney parks, but not Star Wars, not Marvel.
Yeah, and then talk about Galaxy's Edge every episode.
But it's part of the park.
But we'll get, all right, to Disney proper, or I guess kind of, it's still Pixar, but it feels more like at the heart of Disney proper. Toy Story 4 had their Super Bowl ad. Actually, this one kind of got probably one of the bigger laughs of the spots that we were watching. Let's take a listen. You got a
friend in me. Wow. This place is amazing.
Wasn't Buzz gonna meet us here?
He must be held up somewhere.
Hey, up here, Astro Boy.
If you think you can take our top prize spot, you're wrong.
Dead wrong.
Help me get out of here.
I'll help you.
With my foot. Wow. Yeah. How you like that, cheetah? Oh, to infinity and my foot. Boom. In the vacuum of space, they cannot hear you scream.
Toy Story 4. That's coming out soon. There's a lot of good movies coming out soon. Thoughts, Aaron? More hyped?
I like the Key and Peele characters. I feel like this is an opportunity that we may see turn into its own like kind of spin-off thing.
Yeah.
They're seeding these characters almost as an idea of,
you know,
like,
you say that.
Maybe we'll get, you know, a spin-off movie with these characters or a TV show with these characters.
You know, you say that. I forgot that these characters are Key and Peele. The like carnival, it's like the carnival stuffed chick and bunny rabbit,
right?
Which is funny because they seem to be introducing like different toys that have their own personalities based on the kind of toy they are. So like the first one that's like the spork, the homemade toy, is like, I don't belong here. And then now we have the kind of the rough and rowdy carnival toy crowd.
I'm still not the whole Spork thing, and that like create your own art project becomes a toy. That's still throwing me off. I'm really curious to see how they incorporate that into a story without it feeling like they're really reaching.
Yeah.
But it'll be reaching. Good. I mean, the thing is, you're going to have, you have Tom Hanks, you know, it's Woody, and it's you know, all the characters that we're used to. And then you have these Key and Peele characters that they introduce. So it's going to be funny. The movie's going to be good, but like, it does feel like, okay, how many more Toy Story movies do we need? Like, maybe they should have ended at 3, because 3 was such a good ending.
I still haven't seen 3. I've admitted this on the show, but I am going to catch up and see 2 and 3. I've only seen the first Toy Story, and I know that's almost like heresy, because like, it's understandable that I missed, because I didn't live stateside, and I was like, you know, when in the 90s, I just kind of missed that era of Disney movies, as amazing as that era was. So that's why I'm doing the big catch-up project now. But yeah. I don't really have an excuse for Toy Story, because that's like prime, exactly, I was the right age and stuff. I just missed it. But I'm looking forward to catching up on that.
I figured out, I went through the list of Disney movies because I was curious to see if there were any yet that I hadn't seen, kind of the Disney proper
movies.
And I found 2, Oliver and Company, The Black Cauldron, which I still have not seen The Black Cauldron, but I watched Oliver and Company the other day.
So The Black Cauldron kind of has a reputation as the worst of the Disney films, like the low point of the Dark Ages.
Yeah, it's kind of the outlier that a lot of people don't like to talk about.
Yeah, but...
I don't know if I avoided it because of that, or I just didn't know it existed for a long time. But now it's like I really want to see it because it has this infamous reputation. So I'm like, I have to see it now.
Yeah, let me know when you do, and maybe we'll do like a little commentary on like, what's the worst?
That would be fun. We should both watch it around the same time, and then maybe we could do a quick little review.
Yeah,
on it. But yeah, Oliver and Company was kind of a disappointment. That came out when I was pretty young, and I had missed it for whatever reason. And then going back and watching it, I was like, okay.
Is that the All Dogs Go to Heaven song? I remember seeing this.
It's very All Dogs Go to Heaven-esque.
Okay.
I believe maybe even some of the creators of All Dogs Go to Heaven came from the people that made this movie.
I was trying to remember if I'd seen it or not. Or maybe if I saw one of the songs in the sing-along VHS tapes we had growing up. Maybe it was that. I don't know.
But it features the voices of Joey Lawrence and Billy Joel, of all people.
Billy,
sings in it, but is also a voice of the character. So, yeah. And if you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out, but it's definitely dated. And I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if we do Black Cauldron. That would be a fun little retrospective. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a Mouse and Castle if we didn't talk about the before we talk about Galaxy's Edge, because we do have some Galaxy's Edge stuff. We have the Marvel themed medals for a Virtual Run series. The most key and most important part of the podcast.
This is Disney Run for people that can't go to Disney.
Disney Run. This is what, so you can get the Disney Run medal, and you run the virtual race. You can't see me, Aaron. I'm doing air quotes. Virtual race, where you run, air quotes again, you basically type in Scouts Honor, hey, I ran a distance, and then they send the medal.
Send me a medal.
I am skeptical of this, sir. I believe there are hijinks afoot, and that if you have a virtual Disney medal, it doesn't count, because I don't believe you ran. I'm taking the stance
fair.
Now.
That is fair, because anyone can sign up for it, pay your $60 and get your medal. But I do think it's an opportunity for someone who, I enjoy the Run Disney stuff. I know you do too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it's not always easy for everyone to get down there and participate. So I do appreciate that they do offer an opportunity for people that can't get down there to still participate if they want to. And sure, you could just give the money and get the medal. But if you really want to, you could make it into an event. And I know for me, like with my son kind of getting older and old enough to start participating in these events, this is a good way to introduce him to it and kind of say, okay, so last summer we did the Incredibles themed one. We did one of the months and he got an Incredibles medal. So this year we're going to do another one.
Did that, and there, So did that kind of plant the seed? Does he want to do maybe one of the fun runs or maybe even a 5K at Disney now that he's done the virtual one?
Oh, definitely. He's already asking if he can go to one, but I don't think he's quite ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to do another virtual one.
Not even this fall?
No, not this fall. Soon, maybe next year.
Maybe not this fall, but next year. That'd work. We could do that.
But
that
I was excited that these are Marvel themed, and some of the fun is just getting the medals. And so they're doing an Iron Man one, they're doing Black Panther, and they're doing Captain Marvel. And so you can run all three of them if you want. You can just run one. So I think me and Quinn are going to just do the Iron Man one, so we can get the Iron Man medal.
Yes.
But we will actually go out. We will actually run the 5K. We will, you know, we'll make it legit.
Yes, Iron Man. I think even my girlfriend would approve of the Iron Man medal, even though it's a virtual Disney run medal. There I don't know. That would be the ultimate. That would be the ultimate decision between those two. It is a run Disney medal. It is virtual, but it's Iron Man. I say all that to say we're rewatching the Marvel movies right now. Iron Man's a big hit. And she's seeing a good number of them for the first time, actually.
Really?
So she's seen a good number of them, just kind of scattered. But I would say maybe one out of every three on average as we've gone through. And so, yeah, Iron Man's has been the big hit. So she thinks Captain America's kind of lame. I know.
I'm not going to disagree with her on that.
You're not going to disagree? How dare you, sir? Captain America.
He can be kind of lame, especially in the first movie. He gets really cool by, like, the Avenger. When he gets the beard and stuff.
Yeah, true. At later ones, like, he starts getting cool at Civil War.
Civil War, he's great. And then, you know, the Avengers, the latest Avengers movie, he was great. But, yeah, I don't know. The first Avengers movie, the first Captain America movie, he's okay.
Listen, I'm a true patriot, even if you're not. That's all I'm saying. I'm looking at the story we have here. It's Inside the Magic. We'll have the link in the show notes. But do they have a link here for the actual medals here?
No, they've only announced the theme then which characters that each month will be. So you can do the way that the virtual run, like what they call the what is it called? I forget. It's like summer series or whatever. But basically, the way it works is they have 3 months that you can do it. And each month has its own medal. And then if you do all three, you get all three medals, plus you get a fourth medal for completing all three.
Okay.
As Disney does. They like to give that bonus to encourage you to pay more money. So, so they're doing Iron Man, Black Panther, and Captain Marvel, but they've only announced which ones they're doing, but they haven't not released what the medals are going to look like.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, I might do it, actually, man. I'm not going to lie. I did all that pooping on the whole concept of it, but I'll probably do it because it's getting time, sir, as we're looking at the Wine and Dine as the next Disney run that we'll be getting the gang back together, heading down to Walt Disney World and doing the Wine and Dine. So that means our 6 month out, you know, our training schedule starts in what, April, May? April, soon-ish, right? 2 months, I want to say. So I'm already kind of looking at putting that on the calendar. It'll be an interesting time. It's always that time.
The Iron Man 5K is in July. It's July.
It's kind of perfect timing.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I figured.
We'll be running those distances anyway.
Training run.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll be running those distances anyway as we get started. So, hey, Galaxy's Edge, let's talk about it. We've got some new construction progress on the Millennium Falcon at Disney's Hollywood Studios. There's some new there's a new aerial view of the Millennium Falcon at Galaxy's Edge. Aaron, talk a little bit about what we're seeing here.
The aerial view, man, these images came out and you know, props to it's actually a Twitter account called BioReconstruct, I don't know. I guess he just illegally flies drones around Disney, which we both know you're not supposed to do.
As a hobbyist who flies drones, Disney, same FAA classification as flying a drone over like an active military base. It's literally
You see these shots. These are drone shots, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%.
Okay.
They're pretty high altitude, which is probably how he gets away with it. But yeah, definitely very illegal. But they, but you know what? We'll just put that on the back shelf while we take a while we gawk at them. They look amazing. Well, it's so far along. Is this has got to be land, right? Is this land?
This is world. Because he's known for his shots from the Orlando area specifically. So I think he's a local.
Gotcha.
But this looks. I mean, everything you see. We've seen the model. You know, we've seen all the shots. We've seen the. We've seen the, you know, kind of concept art for this. But, and that stuff always tends to be a little bit, you know, it never quite turns out what
ethereal.
You expect.
It's always a little ethereal.
But then you see these shots and you're like, it literally looks like they're, I mean, they didn't oversell this. This is insane.
I'm looking at it now. It really is turning out very close to a lot of the concept work and stuff that they're showing, at least from this aerial view. And it, I mean, it's not a surprise from everything we've seen so far, and even the pattern that they've had building up to this with Avatar and Cars Land, with the really immersive sections of the parks. It just makes sense that they're going to be successful. But I'm not surprised at this far along in world, because you know they have that extra 6 month runway. Buddy Scott Rifen was on the Star Wars Report, and he was talking about how. Someone he knows who's kind of in the know was saying that they're kind of skating by. They're like right on the edge of running late behind schedule at the world version, even though it's like set already to open 6 months later. But I mean, man, you look at this here, it looks pretty far along. You know, I'm no construction expert, but...
It does look far along, but then you think about all the other stuff even beyond just the buildings. You know, they got like the walkways and just all the extra stuff and artwork and... I mean, there's a lot going on that still needs to be done. Even the inside of these buildings, you know, needs to be all like hashed out. So, it does look amazing, and I cannot wait to be walking through. But it looks huge. Like I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, this is insane. It's well, gonna just be. I just want to go there.
Let's
and pay the entrance to Hollywood Studios, and then just stay here all day.
Or 3 or 4 or 7. Hey, let's take a little trip across to the other coast, Disneyland, and talk about it. You included a Barron's piece that has a great overview of where we are sort of now, and it kind of talks about where Galaxy's Edge will be and that experience of having like three entrances, which I've read before, but I had forgotten that's what they're doing. But Galaxy's Edge is going to have three entrances, one at Frontierland, one at Fantasyland, and one at Critter Country. So I think that's, again, in that effort to keep the crowd control down and make it a little bit more manageable.
Yeah. I mean, Disneyland Park is already just kind of a smaller space.
Yeah.
And just the idea of the crowds... they're going to add with this is insane.
Oh, interesting. And Barron's, and I can kind of see why you included the story, because they do recycle a lot of information we already know, but they recently actually did visit the construction site. Here's a quote. 600 workers currently, down from 1,000. When they visited the construction site, one team was preparing to weld joints, seams to cover screw heads on the Millennium Falcon, which recently was assembled from the contents of 93 crates. Another was lifting an ornamental radar dish to the control tower. Another was attending the ceiling and Aga's cantina. So yeah, I'm hyped. And I don't have it here in front of me, Aaron, but I want to tell you about and just get your reaction to what I can remember from the story, because it was really detailed, and I'll try to find it and throw a link in the show notes as well. But we talked about it on the Star Wars Report podcast last week. And it was a new piece of Attraction Magazine that has a couple insider sources that pieces together what the entire experience is going to be doing the Rise of the Resistance ride, to include the fact that the queuing experience is kind of its own pre-show, where they load into two different loaders that are like you're boarding a ship and going into hyperspace, and that queue, like, passes you into the warehouse where that then you get into your ride vehicle, which goes through the quote-unquote Star Destroyer hangar, where you experience the resistance. Scott quoted me, it's something like 3 to 4 times as many props and animatronics as the current record holder, which is Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like 3 or 4 times the size, 3 or 4 times the number, thousands and thousands of animatronics that take you through this encounter where you encounter Kylo Ren, and there's even a drop portion. The carts are very similar, like the Indiana Jones one at Disneyland, where they're free, but there's a lift portion that takes you through this entire story, and the most important thing. 38 minutes is what they were saying. The entire experience, once the ride starts, not the line, but once the ride starts, it's like a half hour plus story experience.
I'm calling BS on that part.
Maybe that includes the queue.
I think it includes the
loading,
queue.
The loading zone.
Like maybe. If you don't have a fast pass, you wait in line, like the actual...
I think it probably includes the queue loading where you get into the big sort of transport, quote unquote, that takes off to hyperspace that loads you into the queues. And I think the actual... I wish I could find it. I might even do a little hunt here, but your first reaction to some of those details. It was a really detailed piece.
No. It sounds really cool, and it kind of goes along the lines with this Barron's article and this guy who got a preview, kind of the way he describes it too. And I'll actually just read what he says here. It's a couple short paragraphs, but it says, visitors waiting in line for this attraction will wind through highly themed interiors that evoke rundown rooms the Resistance has repurposed as a base for operations against the First Order. Groups of guests might be captured, quote-unquote, at one point and ordered along by the enemy before making their escape aboard a trackless troop transport. They will see scenes including stormtrooper formation and one featuring Kylo Ren, perhaps resembling the interrogation scene from Star Wars The Force Awakens. The transport will evade familiar war machines like the four-legged AT-AT walkers, and from The Empire Strikes Back, up close, these towering metal beasts do not disappoint. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like... what you read and what I see here, kind of it's all agreeing, and it sounds like a really cool experience.
Yeah. No. Let's see the. Oh, and while I found the piece on Attraction Magazine, so I'm gonna toss it to you, Aaron. So when we post it, you guys can have a reference for it, just because it's one of those things that is so well done, that you've got to see it. So I'm gonna toss it to you, Aaron, right here. A little bit of live show editing, but. This is how we do it. Here we go. Full details on Rise of the Resistance. They kind of stitch everything together in a really sort of linear fashion. They talk about the trackless transports, where they travel in two buddy transports. So you have two transports that go through at once, again, probably to help numbers. There's a first room, and they enter this that they exit, and then you hit this extremely detailed area, which is meant to look like the hallways of the First Order Star Destroyer. That's when the vehicles become separated, each going up their own elevator shaft on either side of the room. That's where you see that sort of big warehouse area. That's where you see the AT-AT walkers, the full-sized AT-ATs. And then once they're up the elevator shaft, they're on the second floor of the building, which is about 40 feet up. They have the animatronics, they go on with the story, and then I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit. Here we go. The buddy
vehicle.
I feel
like we should have given out a spoiler alert.
I know, and that's kind of what I feel like. I don't want to like give... It's almost like...
It's almost like too much information.
All right. I know, right? I'm just going to hit the... I kind of feel bad about it. I'm just going to hit the highlights. It has to do with escape pods, encountering Kylo Ren, and an entire sort of twisting and turning narrative that is a sort of complete experience. At the end of it, you roll out of the escape pods and unload in an area where, of course, you can have an opportunity to get a photo from PhotoPass. And if I just had to hazard a guess, it's probably going to be a gift shop right about there. Where you can purchase some collectible material.
I think it'll be, I mean, I've heard the idea of it being like over 30 minutes, and I've kind of seen this bouncing around the internet a little bit, and some people were quick to say, hey, don't expect the actual ride time to be that long. That's, you know, most rides are going to be less than 5 minutes. It's more the entire experience. And I mean, you know, if you've ever been to a Disney park, you know the queue is part of the experience a lot of times. You know, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride has, you know, all of that as you're walking through and seeing the collector's stuff.
Yeah.
And you go into the room with Rocket and all of that. It's part of the experience, but it's not, you know, it's not actually part of the ride per se. So I would definitely expect that the actual ride itself is going to be much less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, let's. I'm trying to find. I mean,
unless you got something there that's going to prove me wrong, that to me would be, even just like when you're talking about crowds and stuff like that. That to me just sounds impossible.
Okay, here we go. Inside the Magic, January 24th. This is last week on Inside the Magic. Again, we're doing a lot of like live research here, but I'm going to toss that one to you as well, Aaron, in the chat that we've got here. Here's the quote. We've recently learned more details about the state-of-the-art technology, etc., the new immersive land, blah, 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 Disney's Hollywood Studios. And now the latest information to come out about the Epic Lands reveals the possibility that one of the two attractions is a whopping 28 minutes long. Sorry, not 38. 28. That seems slightly more attainable, but still super long. You read that right. A 28-minute-long attraction could be coming your way. No, it won't be the highly anticipated Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. It'll be the Rise of the Resistance. Complete with 300 animatronics, says Theme Park Stop podcast hope Alicia Stella. Okay, so here's our source. I don't know that's the best source. As a future intelligence professional, I would assess with low confidence that source is a reliable.
I'll stand by what I said. I think it just means that if you go there,
it's got to be the queue.
Find
it's
yourself like, waiting in line.
Yeah,
you're gonna have an over 28 minute experience of entertainment, which is good because that means.
I mean, it's still great. I remember the first time.
Part of the fun is waiting in the queue and seeing all the cool stuff. After the 10th or 11th time, it might get a little old, but the first few times, we're gonna eat up anything we see in the queue.
Yeah, I'd take it. The first time I experienced this was the ride, the queue for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train when it opened. And that was the first time I'd been to one where they'd really built it up. And then later, Guardians Breakout had that same kind of feel. So I'm glad.
Yeah, and Flight of Passage definitely does too. So all this means is that when we go there and there's a 3-hour wait, that 2.5 hours of it won't have any entertainment.
Yeah.
And then the end will.
Yeah. Well, sir, I think, am I missing it? Oh, yeah, we've got one last story that we're going to hit up for the episode, and that is Shanghai. We can be international here. Shanghai, Disneyland. Zootopia Land was just announced. Zootopia-themed land, which will feature a major new attraction that will seamlessly blend Disney storytelling, state-of-the-art technology, and will feature Judy Hopps, Nick Wilde, at Shanghai Disneyland.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously Shanghai Disneyland, not one that we're frequenting.
We're going to go to every single one, though, during the lifetime of this podcast.
All of the international ones. And I hear really good things about Shanghai Disney.
I mean, it means we're going to have to do this podcast for like 10 years. But at some point, we're going to make it to each one of the parks.
But I thought this was good enough, or this was something that we should at least talk about, just because people have been talking about the idea of Zootopia and that IP being added to the Disney parks in a more official way, not more official, but just in a bigger way than what we've seen so far, especially when you have a park called Animal Kingdom. It almost makes sense that you would have something like that show up.
It
hasn't really stateside been a big IP that they've leaned on. As far as the parks go. So this is and this was kind of unexpected news. I know there had been rumors about there being Zootopia stuff coming, but there weren't any rumors around it coming to Shanghai. So this is kind of a big deal. And Shanghai has been really building up that park with a lot of cool areas and a lot of cool rides. So this type of thing definitely makes it more enticing for me to make my way out there eventually.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be great. The reason at first you might be like Zootopia. I mean, it was a popular movie, but like an entire land. I mean, Toy Story is a much more established IP. Like here, where they just opened Toy Story Land, but it makes more sense because Zootopia was the number one animated film, not for Disney, but just animated film period of all time at the Chinese box office.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I didn't even know that, but that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one I actually thought about going. We had actually priced it out in going to Shanghai this past year, but we ended up not doing it. But it's actually not out of the realm of possibility budget-wise. It's cheaper than Paris for sure.
Oh, really?
Because we looked at Paris as well. We were just looking at some of the other international locations for Disney, And Shanghai, travel-wise, like cost of flights and hotel and all of that is much more reasonable than a visit to Europe. So
exactly. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, we're going to have to bring this episode of Mouse and Castle, episode 11, to a close. But, dude, Aaron, thanks for hopping along again. I'm glad we were able to meet up and do this, even though I'm my back's broken.
Yeah, you need to go take some pain medication.
I know. This is probably the most amount of pain medication I've been on while recording a podcast.
You can't even tell.
Listen, I'm a true professional. You can't tell, like, that I'm...
You're starting to slur.
I'm a true professional. I'm okay. It's like, I made it this far. No. All right. You guys, follow us on our social media. It's at Mouse and Castle on Twitter and Instagram. mouseandcastlepodcast@gmail.com. Hey, follow Aaron at AV Goins on Twitter. Easy place to find him, as well as Instagram. I'm at The Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y, The Riley Guy. And you can follow us all there. Aaron, am I missing anything? Stay tuned. We'll be talking more next week. And hey, maybe we'll watch The Black Cauldron. do a show all day.
Stay tuned for our Black Cauldron review.
It's destined to be way more popular than the Mary Poppins episode. Oh, man. And hey, if you're new to the podcast, hey, thanks for listening. I know a lot of you guys are joining here recently, especially with... It's a pretty new show, and so each week I know we have new people, so thank you for listening. And hey, share it with all of your Disney friends. The Mouse and Castle podcast, available wherever you download podcasts. If you enjoy the show, we always appreciate iTunes ratings and reviews. Share the show. It's a great way to do it. And until next time, may your days be magical and your evenings be the happiest they might ever be. B minus, right? B minus? Was that?
It was simple. I give you an A for simplicity.
A for simplicity. It was not as bad as last week, that's for sure. Oh, man. I'm very rusty. It's been too long. I took a break on the Star Wars report, and then we missed it. It's all right.